Hello, my friend. Jeff C. here with a great new resource that I put together just for you. It's a complete database of all the tools that I use to create content and run my business. I've got apps, software, hardware, and even my favorite AI tools. It's easy to find what you need and tells you exactly how I'm using them in my business. To get access to my toolbox, just go to jeffc.com/toolbox. That's J-E-F-F. S is in Sam, I-E-H. That's I before E, especially in C. That's how my mama had me learn it. So go check it out. And if you haven't heard me say it in a while, I appreciate you listening, my friend. And now, on with the episode. I think people consume content where they want. Like, some people love watching it YouTube because they love the YouTube platform. Other people like Facebook because that's where they're at every day. So I think it depends on where your audience is at, too. But it's easier never than to stream live. So I don't know if that's answered Scott's question, but you know, I the fastest path seems to be YouTube to get monetization, like to start seeing some money.
Keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Well, folks, welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C. And you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date in the world of social media and more.
Well, today's episode is all about you and your questions. We're going to be taking questions about social media, content creation, travel agents, all the sorts of stuff, Connor. I mean, this is wide open. This is going to be a fun show. We've got some great questions lined up that I put together that I want you guys, wherever you're listening from, to answer in the comments, because I just don't want to be talking. I want to talk to you guys in the comments as well. So if we have a question that you want to chime in on, just do that right down below. Before we get started, I want to do a big shout out to our sponsors, our friends over at Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. Use code Jeff15. You'll save 15% on your first purchase. And with that, there's also something very, very cool coming up on Ecamm. It is actually their professional presence workshop with Kat Mulvihill, which we've had on before. And this starts, is totally free. I don't know why you're full screen there, Connor, but yeah, pay attention. It's going to be on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You can have bonus practice Zoom episodes on Friday. You can find out more about that at ecamm.com/pro presence. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you guys go check that out. ecamm.com/pro presence. Kat is one of the best presenters I have ever seen. She did something on Leap a couple weeks ago, and that's how I came up with my toolkit. So if you guys want to check out, she talked about Notion. And so I did a toolkit. You can find out more about that at jeffc.com/toolbox. And you can get access to all the tools and cool stuff that I have. But Kat is the one who kind of got that going. The other thing I want to mention is camp is coming up. ecamm.com/camp. Creator, there's two conferences that I always will go to as long as I can. The first one is Lou Mangiello's Momentum, which Connor is going to be there as well, and I'll be back again this year. But camp, Creators Camp, was the first time was last year. It was amazing. They limit it to 100 people. ecamm.com/camp. Connor's going to be there as well. I'm going to be there. My wife will be there, but my daughter will be there too. It's so much fun. It is so much fun. You've got to go. ecamm.com/camp. And on that note, I'm actually giving away a free ticket to camp. So it's going to launch in my newsletter on Tuesday that I send out every week. And one of the things about that is you can actually, as I pull it up here, yes, jeffc.com/news. I'm going to be announcing this contest, and there's going to be a cool little contest. There's going to be all sorts of sweepstakes you can do. I'm going to give you a secret code at the end of this broadcast that will give you extra entries. We're going to be hiding those across our podcast, our blogs, all sorts of fun places. It's kind of a scavenger hunt kind of thing. But that ticket's worth like $700. So it's going to be a fun contest. So if you haven't subscribed to my newsletter, jeffc.com/news. All right, let's get to the questions, Connor. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to pick one for you?
Oh, I would love to go first. I think I have a pretty good one. This is, Jeff, this is a somewhat personal question for you about your history, but I kind of tie it together with marketing and entrepreneurship. I know that in a previous life, let's say you worked as a juggler, in a amusement park.
Would I wasn't a juggler. I was a magician.
So I wrote clown, and I knew that wasn't right. Magician. Okay. Yeah. Juggler. I guess it just in my head, I would like to see you juggle. So that's the picture.
I can juggle, by the way, but that's not what I did. So
okay. There you go. Magician in kind of like an amusement park area in Denver, right? In Colorado.
Yeah.
What I'm always interested with is how do you think that helped you either dive into the world of entrepreneurship or working for yourself or in kind of the business world? And the reason I ask that is because me, as a former cast member working in the parks in Walt Disney World, you think, oh, you're just putting people on a roller coaster, you know, possibly teach you about the corporate world or something like that. And for me, it was a huge way to me to hone my effective communication skills, being as clear as possible. And also the importance of storytelling for folks. So do you think you learned anything from that?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, and Chris Stone goes, juggler, magician, tomato, tomato. No, there's a big difference, my friend. Yes, they're big difference. Those are fighting words. So I think probably being able to, like you said, tell a story. I did actually to pay for college. My roommate and I, we traveled around doing magic for like churches and groups like that. We had doves. I had a dove. We make doves up here. We had them there's pictures of us in our room when we were working on stuff with our doves sitting on our shoulders because that's how you got them used to one another. And we had a dove and I had a rabbit. His name was Larry Bird because he was white and he couldn't jump very well. And so that was why his name was Larry Bird. I had a rabbit and he was actually, rabbits can be litter box trained. And so he would hop around my apartment too. So it was a jungle there. But I think for me, it was one of performing, knowing that I wanted to work for myself because, I mean, when I did get the amusement park job, I didn't go back for college. I skipped a semester because it was so much fun. We were doing six shows a day. I opened for this act and then I opened for the Wild West stunt show. And then one of the guys left and I became a part of the Wild West stunt show. We did six shows a day. It was a lot of fun. I think it taught me how to tell a story, how to captivate an audience and know that I didn't want to work for anybody else kind of thing. Cause it was a blast. It was so much fun. So other than getting married and some other cool stuff I've done, that was probably the coolest thing that I did, you know, getting to it. So that would be good. So let's bring up some of the comments. I'd be interested to know what you guys is like craziest job you did on your career path. That would be fun to hear in the comments. Akira says, I feel like you follow the same path as Mr. Steve Martin, magician, juggler, comedy, communications. It's funny, Kira, that you say that, and you can't see it here, but Steve Martin, I loved his new documentary. If you haven't watched it on Apple, it's amazing. But it did influence me. Like, I started playing the five-string banjo because of him when I was in junior high, and I still have a five-string banjo, but because he, if you don't know, is an amazing a banjo player, but he used to incorporate in his act. But yeah, he was a big influence.
You know, one of his first jobs was Steve Martin's first jobs was a magician on Main Street in Disneyland. And then he worked in kind of a similar show at Knott's Berry Farm just down the street in Buena Park, California.
Yeah. It's pretty, his book Born Standing Up is really, really good as well. So if you haven't read that one, that's good. But his documentary, this is a side note, but I love his relationship with Martin Short. And the stuff they're doing together. Great. It is so fun to watch. So, and Abby says, I think it helps you learn that humor helps you connect with people, Dad. And she also got me a magic rabbit as a kid. Oh, that's right. I did. That's true. When they would do creative stuff and like, I was very, very proud when they did that kind of things. So Connor Brown, what were you saying?
Rabbits and doves in your college dorm room. I had no idea you were the big man on campus.
Well, when you play the banjo when you're in junior high, you have to just beat the girls off with a stick. It's just, they just attack you. It's just, so heck with those long haired rock and roll guys. It's the banjo players that does it right there. Yeah. Let's see, Connor, for you, and this is for everybody. Like, I want to know for you, like, who are your mentors? Like your mentors. So you guys in the comments, I want you to answer this as well. Who do you look up to? Who are your mentors? For me, I've said it before. I really like the way I have certain mentors for certain things like community. It's Lou Mangiello, like how he does this stuff. I look at that, how he does it. That's why I dove into Momentum, but just depends. You know, my dad's a big mentor in my life, but I'd love to know you guys who's your mentor and Connor, how about you?
Yeah, I'd say first and foremost, my dad as well. I think when I have a question about life, about business, about any of that, I go to him. He's a lawyer, but he's a partner in his own law firm. So he has that kind of business acumen, and he's been through a lot in his life. So he has a lot of great life lessons, and he helps me put things in perspective. So I've always looked up to him for those sorts of things, and acting as a sounding board on all my crazy ideas and that. I'd probably be remiss if I didn't say Walt Disney, of course. Oh, yeah. Huge part of my life for many reasons. I think a lot of what Walt Disney did was just going for it. And I think that there's a lot to learn in that. He failed a lot, which I think the average person doesn't really know. But he just kept going and trying new things and different iterations. And I think that that's super, super important. Another one that I really look up to in a kind of a balancing your emotions, philosophical and even a marketing perspective is a guy named Ryan Holiday.
Yeah.
He's an incredible author. He used to be the marketing director at American Apparel when he was like 24 years old, something crazy like this. He was a research assistant for Robert Greene, who wrote The 48 Laws of Power. He's just a really, really interesting guy. We read one of his books in college in my marketing class. It was one of his marketing books. And then years later, I was applying for a job and someone said in the interview for the job, "Hey, what's the most recent book you read?" And I froze because I hadn't read any books in years.
Right.
So I said that book and I kind of stumbled through it. And the guy was like, "Okay." Clearly knowing I haven't read any books, I went home after I bombed that interview and I picked up that book again and I read it cover to cover and then just got ingrained in his stuff. He writes a lot now about Stoic philosophy, in particular Marcus Aurelius. It's just been an incredible thing for me dealing with anxieties, putting my emotions in check and kind of putting me on a great path for personal and business. So those are probably the three I really look up to.
So I wanted to ask you one of so when we interviewed you specifically on the podcast, you talked about the Disney College program and you mentioned Walt Disney. And the cool thing about Walt Disney too, that I really like, is like he was successful later in life, like in his 50s, yeah. Like that's when it kind of all hit for him. And I'm like, I feel good now. So, you know, I'm like, that's great. But you were in that Disney College program. And one of the questions I want to kind of build on when that interview is like, can you share a story from your Disney College program experience that kind of changed your perspective on marketing or storytelling? Because I mean, I know you got to go behind the scenes and see like the lights on in the Haunted Mansion and some other cool stuff. But like from that experience, what did you take away from like how to, you know, tell a story better or as a cast member, those kind of things?
I think it's about being as detail oriented as humanly possible. I think at the end of the day, we see the finished product of everything, but we don't know what goes into that, whether it's a movie, a TV show, a book, or a theme park attraction. We just kind of take those things for granted. Kind of for me, seeing the backstage of not necessarily how everything was put together, but how everything is run in an efficient manner, right? Mm-hmm. People being in the right place at the right time, creating ways that are efficient to get from point A to point B for a cast member in the back. Those little things are really, really important. And how do you relate that to marketing or your life? It's about being as detail oriented as possible. It's not being a perfectionist, right? Sometimes you just have to put something out into the world, but it's about caring as much as possible. If you think it's, you know, oh, who's going to look at this? No big deal. That's kind of where you're wrong. You know, if you take pride in yourself and you focus on the really, really small things, little things add up. I learned a lot from that. And I think that I kind of try to carry that on with all the travel agent stuff that I do, being as like detail oriented as possible. Even if the person isn't going to read everything I send them, me knowing that they have everything that they need gives me peace of mind. And then for the people that do read everything, they're overly grateful for all of that.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to bring up some other comments. Rich said, this is talking about what, you know, what you did as a job. He says, "I cleaned commercial chicken houses one summer using farm equipment." Ooh, that's a nice smell. I can just picture it. "There was one incident I'm not sharing here. Let's just say I learned a lesson about communication skills." I can just guess, Rich. And some mentors. Gary Stockton says he really likes Otis Gibbs' style of videos, quite unique on how they are filmed, and a great storyteller for tech Curtis Judd, Photo Joseph, and Aaron Parecki are cool dudes to follow. I'm going to have to check out some of those. Gary, thank you for that. I will, and I've said it before, one of my favorite, like I said, I haven't been different people I look up to in for different things, like video editing. I still, and I said this last night on a live show that I was watching, Chris Stone is one of the best video editors I've seen for short form content, repurposing things. He does a great job. So if you haven't checked out Chris Stone, he's kind of like a great video editor to watch. I love Business Wars for like audio storytelling for podcasting. I just have always loved their style. So that's a couple of those. Let's see. Oh, and Rich says, Lou is definitely on top of my list of business and life mentors, identify with a genuine, caring personality. So I feel his guidance comes from the same perspective, the same goals that I have. Yeah. I think when you can align yourself with those type of people, like that's why I like Lou and other people who I consider successful in business, and they're not icky with their sales. That's what I've always struggled with, is trying to do sales. I grew up, my dad was a preacher and he was also an EMT, and we had people like show up bloody on our doorstep, like needing help. And like, so service was just part of what we did. Like that was just our DNA. Like you help people and you serve people. So then when I became a businessman, charging for that was really hard. Like I still struggle with like, okay, I just want to help kind of thing. Cause that's the way we grew up. Like you just help people. That's what you did. So putting a dollar figure to that has been a real struggle, but I'm with you, Rich. Finding people who sell in a way that are really, really cool and doesn't make you feel icky, that's super important. Dustin has a great question. What was the last book you read?
Oh, I think he followed it up with how he would answer it.
Oh, okay. We'll get to his, but I wanted to see what is the last book you read, Connor?
The last book, well, I'm currently getting our way through 10X. 10X is...
Oh, yeah, we're doing that.
The last, I would say, substantial book I read was Lonesome Dove, which I finished just a couple weeks ago.
Did you watch the movie?
It's a mini series because the book is so friggin' huge. It's like this big.
Right.
No, I have not yet, but I want to. It was incredible. Great storytelling. Even though it's so big, you're just flying through it, which is kind of the reason why I want to read Shogun as well, which I know raving about the miniseries too. So
I watched a couple episodes. So I have a couple books. I read a lot. And so I have a couple books going at one time. My recent one I finished and got through, I got hooked on Adam Grant stuff. Like Hidden Potential was really, really good. And so I bought like all his books and I've been reading those. And so what I do in the morning, I usually read something business wise, like stuff like that. In the evening, right before I go to sleep, I read kind of fiction. And this isn't really fiction, but Eric Fisher got me on this. It's the story of MCU, Marvel stuff. And it's fascinating, like how much Downey got paid and, you know, how they, like Scarlett Johansson never had been in a real action movie and she had to learn. I mean, it's just stuff like that. And it's just fascinating. And Kevin Feige is one that I've always wanted to sit down and just like talk to, because I just think the way he set up the universe and stuff is just fascinating. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But those are the books I'm reading now. Dustin says, and this is interesting, I don't read books. They're productivity killers. I learned everything efficiently from the internet. That I get. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But I can read faster than I can watch a video is my thing. Mm. So, I mean, I love watching YouTube videos and learning how to do stuff. I wish I would have had that growing up. But what about you? Do you kind of a mixture of both, Connor?
I'm definitely a mixture of both. I think for more tactile things, like a process oriented thing, I need a video, like, cause I can pause it. I can do what I'm doing. I can pause it. I can do what I'm doing. But for me, a book, you can't focus on anything else. That's also why I don't do a lot of audio books, because I find my mind just wandering. Like, you know, I'm sure someone listening to this podcast, their mind's wandering right now as we're saying this, right? Come back right now. So that's why I love just the feel of a book in my hand. I recently got a Kindle as well. I love the feel of that too. It's the process too, right? It's seeing the pages that you've read. They're the Kindle, the percentage that you've read already. So yeah, and I feel like, I don't know, sometimes when you read something, it sticks more with you than when you just hear something.
Yeah. So I have a huge library still, but my wife made me use a Kindle because we don't have any more room actually. And so, and the thing that I really like, and I've talked about this before when we talked about like our second building a second brain, is I love being able to highlight stuff in my Kindle, and then it goes automatically and puts it to Notion in a database where I can, and I even use called Read, a service called Readwise, which actually sends me an email periodically about all the stuff I've written and refreshes that, and, oh, I forgot about that kind of a thing. Very cool service, especially for the stuff that I do in the morning, the business books. I really like that's, yeah. I love having that on my iPad where I can highlight stuff. And so this is a great question from Abby. Mm-hmm. So it is, what's y'all's, you can tell she's from East Texas, biggest hot take or unpopular opinion about content creation or the marketing world in general? So Connor, what is your hot take or unpopular opinion about content creation? And I'd love for you guys to answer this question too, because this is fascinating to me. So what is one of your unpopular opinions, Connor?
Man, I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion, but I think focusing on a huge audience is not the way to go nowadays. It's about focusing on a small, tight-knit group, or rather a very specific person, individual group mm-hmm. that you can help with that. Like going viral, right? Getting right. a million followers, that is not a way to build a business, because so much of it is out of your control. And you have to grind for so long to see any actual, you know, things mm-hmm. coming in, successes coming in from that. So for me, it's not about, you know, how many people are watching this, how many people are downloading this. It's about, am I getting engagement from people, and I'm getting emails from people? Because you can build a very, very, very successful business servicing a small group of people as long as you're doing it consistently day in and day out. So
group,
I don't know. A hot take or whatever, but that just kind of, I think it's just important to, because it's so easy to look at numbers and be like, get down on yourself and stuff, but just stop comparing your chapter to somebody else's chapter. You're living your own book.
Right. That kind of goes into my thing too, is, and I actually wrote, if you read my last Tuesday's newsletter,
that's a great,
or email,
great newsletter,
jeffc.com/news, the thing that, and it and I usually don't get, like, I try to always be positive, I try not to be negative about stuff, but this kind of got me, and I made it a little playful in the newsletter, but I was watching, reading this, and this guru that everybody follows and everybody kisses up to and all that stuff had said, like, you need to do this, like, you have to do, you can't put links in your post anymore, it'll kill reach. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I can understand that might happen, but I use links in all of my posts. And that's how I make money. I mean, and so you got to try it before these people make these blanket statements like, this does not work. And I'm like, well, but what are you trying to do? And so I want people to experiment. Like, yeah, you can look at that and say, I'm going to run this experiment for 6 weeks and maybe see if this is right. But everybody's audience is different. Everybody has different people watching or following, and people are, you know, following for a while. Then it's just, try things, you know, don't listen and just say, oh, well, he said that I can't do this, or I have to be on this platform, and I got to do, you know, these dance videos on TikTok. Just try things, but be consistent. Whatever you do, be consistent at, and see if it works, and experiment. But anyway, I got a little, I don't usually write those kind of posts, but I did. So anyway, Scott Ayers goes, I only read books that are all pictures, no text. It's deep stuff. There you go, Scott. Yeah, but Scott's killing it over on Amazon, so we'll give him a pass. Kira asks, do you have a film, book, or theater experience that inspire how you tell stories in your business now? Do you have a film, book, or theater experience that inspires how you tell stories in your business now? Well, this is kind of off topic, but I follow people who tell stories. I'm trying to learn how to be better at short-form content. Like how to hook mm-hmm. people. So I've been studying, like I said, Chris Stone, some other people who do, I think, a good job of hooking people. There's some podcasts I like that do the theater of the mind that I try to think about how we can incorporate stuff like that into a show or questions. I think, I don't know if there's any show or anything that I've done. Maybe, what about you, Connor? Have you thought of?
I think for that, something that I've always thought, and you have to kind of put guardrails on this because it can get out of hand. But if you want to be a great content creator.
I guess we'll have to wait because Connor froze. You said if you want to be a great content creator, and then you like left us all hanging. So take it from there.
Okay. All right. This is good. So I'm glad I get to repeat it.
Okay.
If you want to be a great content creator, you have to be a great content consumer. And the reason behind that is you have to go out and seek movies, films, books, shows, podcasts, whatever it is, that's so beyond your niche or your expertise or whatever it is, because that diversity is going to help make you a better storyteller. And it's not like you're going to immediately get a random idea or something like that. No, it's just a consistent thing again. And over time, your brain's going to wire with ideas in your head and you're going to become more creative with that. So I say put guardrails on it, because you can't just sit in front of Netflix all day and say, I'm a great content consumer. That's going to make me a great content creator. But you have to be seeking out different sorts of mediums just to help you become creative in that regard.
Yeah. I so like for me, I'm trying to up my email game, like writing a lot of the stuff. So I don't just read marketing stuff. Like I go and read other things, you know, humor articles, things from, you know, that I want to get inspiration from, books, you know, autobiographies, all that stuff. So I think that's a perfect example of like, and I think also you need to try to create more than you consume. That's really hard to do in today's day and age. But like you said, those guardrails, a lot of people's like, well, I need to go and I got to get all this research done first. And like, we over-research things, as you know, we've talked about this in our mastermind. Like we would rather get everything outlined and then maybe we'll start. We just need to start. And I think a lot of us don't do that. So Scott says he doesn't read and retain, but he watches videos even on 2x speed and retains. Like some people can do that. Like I'm like with Connor, I can't really, the only time I do podcasts and audiobooks is if I'm traveling or driving and stuff, which I enjoy doing, but I have to read and focus or I'll lose it. So Chris goes, music is his creative gasoline. I mean, he worked at Sony, so of course, like you should see, I don't know if you saw it in your background, but he had all these guitars and I have never heard him play though. That's one thing I want to hear him play. So let's see. A question from Chris says, do you, either you enjoy audio dramas, audiobooks, and suggest some of your favorite podcasts for personal and or business growth? This just sounds real. I really was impressed. And this is a recent one. Masters of Scale. We do Guy Kawasaki's podcast and he was on their show and we released that show as a bonus episode on our feed. The way they did his show was really, really good. And I'm thinking about maybe, so what it was almost like the host led them on a storytelling journey and then brought Guy in to kind of tell that story. It wasn't a straight interview. It was like sections of his interview and he kind of explained it. And it was really, really well done. And I'm like, how can I do that? Like maybe once a month with people who are on my show and use that to tell a story, like an audio story. That's one that I really like, Chris. And I haven't dove into many more of those. So I think it may have been a one-off that they did it on. Business Wars is really great. The guys who did Business Wondery is the podcast place. And they did a Star Wars one that was really, really good. I'd love to know you guys is in the comment. What about you, Connor?
Yeah, I love How I Built This. Obviously a titan in it, but so good, so well done. One that I've not recently, probably for over a year now, that I listen to every single week, comes out a couple times a week, is called The Town. It is very Hollywood business. So it's not like, it's kind of like the movers and shakers in the Hollywood business kind of realm. It's just very, very interesting to me because it's a world I didn't know anything about. And then another one that I like that has kind of gone on hiatus recently is Heavyweight, if you've ever listened to that. That's just a fun, interesting one. It's basically about a guy who has a new person on each week that has a question, I guess, that they've always wanted answered. Like somebody went on a date or was supposed to go on a date 30 years ago and the person never showed up. They never found out why that person never showed up. So he is going to take them back and get all the characters back together and say, hey, why didn't you show up? What was going on? And the way the host does everything, it's very creative. He's very funny. So those are a few that I love.
The Moth was one that I used to listen to quite a bit. Storytelling was really, really good. Let's see. Gosh, there was another one that he asked about like dramas, audiobooks or something. I like to go look at visual styles of things. And one that just really impressed me lately, especially because Abby and I have been working on kind of a rebrand, like what we're going to do for a logo and stuff. And this sounds the weirdest thing, but Fallout on Prime, the visual style that they did for that is so cool. It's like 50s atomic age, alternate universe, Western. I mean, and they're just their elements and the things that they do in there visually are really, really cool. And the way they put in old like 30s and 40s music to like a really violent scene, and they'll put like, you know, some, you know, Glenn Miller band kind of song on behind it. It's just really interesting. And I really have been impressed with that. I've also played the video games way back in the day, so it's kind of fun to do that. But that's kind of one that we've looked at. Another question here, Rich Graham, do you call it Twitter or X? I still call it Twitter. I don't know if I'll ever start calling it X. What about you?
Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah. Gary says, I was surprised to learn how central music was to Steve Jobs' approach to creativity. He was an avid listener and drew great inspiration from it. I agree. And so whenever I'm stuck, I don't know if you do this, Connor, but I have a creativity playlist. Like, and I've shared it before in my newsletter, and it's got, mostly it's not with words. It's like John Williams, you know, the Danny Elfman, some really, I don't know, movie soundtracks and some, even some Disney stuff. That just gets my creativity flowing. I don't know if I'm writing or focusing to it, like my own soundtrack in my head or whatever, but I that's what gets me. I agree, Gary. It's very important.
Right. Yeah. Lo-fi, anything lo-fi. Okay. I love, but type in Super Mario Brothers or Nintendo lo-fi.
Oh yeah.
They kind of take yeah. songs and put it lo-fi. That's great. But I had a question for you, Jeff, because I know you're a big musician, banjo, but another hobby you have is woodworking.
Yeah.
Both of those hobbies, kind of, when did you get started with both of them? But more importantly, how much does it impact your creativity doing that outside of those hobbies?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Some of the people I look up to the most who are actually in the comments today, they do a lot of the, like Gary's a great musician. Chris is. And Dustin, like he is like been an actor, and also he's really, really good in design. I've been following him for years. So I think there is something to do with creativity. Being able to do something outside of the screens, I think, is important. And there's even studies, and actually Adam Grant has a bunch of stuff about creativity in that Hidden Potential book. I started wood carving later in life. Music is like, I had to take piano lessons when I was a kid. I'm like, I wish I would have stuck with it. I really do. If I could take piano lessons as a kid, like with the technology now, I think I'd been. Because I had to play the songs like I didn't even care about, like those Elf books. If anybody remembers what this was, it Schwann? I can't even remember what it was, but they were boring. I have picked up the piano in the past. I've been really playing that. I mean, recently, since COVID, before COVID, I got a piano and really started playing. The wood carving thing is just something I had, my dad and I started later. We had watched wood carving all our lives. We used to go to a place called Silver Dollar City in Missouri, and they had wood carvers, and But we just thought, oh, we can't do it. It's too expensive or whatever. And then we found out it's not that. You just need a knife and a block of wood. Not that hard. And so we started doing that. And then it's just nice to be something with your working with your hand. I've always loved woodworking. I've always done that. And I did it in high school and stuff. But being able to carve things is just fun. And I need to continue to do it more. A lot of people like watching it during COVID. So what about you? What are your like hobbies? I mean, do you, you know, underwater basket weaving? What is your thing?
I would love that. I would love to do that, but that one is expensive, very expensive. No, I said at the beginning of the year, I need more hobbies that are not screen based, right. And I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. But, well, one I golf. That's as right. much as, yeah. as possible, which golf is great because it's an impossible game, absolutely impossible, and it's against yourself. So all yeah, your competing right. yourself. So you're just trying to get yourself better a little bit each and every time. Plus you're outside. It's nice. Those sorts of things.
I don't think you knew this about me, Connor, but I was on the golf team in high school. I actually wow. lettered in golf and I hadn't played since.
Really?
We got to go every day and play at a nice course after school. Yeah. And then when I was in college, I had no money for green fees and all that stuff. And I just never did it again. So I'm sure I'm horrible now, but yeah. I played back in the day. So this is a great question for Scott. In your opinion, what is the best platform to live stream on and monetize it? That last part is the kicker.
Yeah. I guess is if it's monetize of, you know, you're making ad revenue off of it or something like that, or you're going on it to sell mm-hmm. your product. Mm-hmm. I think that those are probably two different, you know, yeah. questions.
I think YouTube is probably because it's based on a search engine. You have the quickest path to, you know, go and get monetized. Once you hit that 1,000 subscribers, I believe it is, and so many watch hours, you can do that at. So, yeah, I think the best place for monetization would be YouTube. The second, you know, it depends on, here's the thing. Everybody like says you need to focus on one platform. The thing is with technology nowadays, it is so easy to go everywhere all at once, which is what we do right here, which is why it took a little bit get back because I had to repost everywhere. But because I think people consume content where they want. Like some people love watching it YouTube because they love the YouTube platform. Other people like Facebook because that's where they're at every day. So I think it depends on where your audience is at too. But it's easier never than to stream live. So I don't know if that's answered Scott's question. But, you know, I, the fastest path seems to be YouTube to get monetization, like to start seeing some money. But that can be hard if you're just getting started, you know, and especially it depends on the niche you're in. So I don't know. I think it would probably be something like it's going to depend on your niche. Like it's really funny. I have Whiskered Woodcarver. You talked about woodcarving earlier. I have kind of like a throwaway channel I did. I hardly ever stream live there, but I get tons of followers like every day because the algorithm likes that one. Which this kind of show is more of a niche kind of thing, doesn't get as much love from the algorithm. So it just
I think it's important to also define how you're going to monetize, right? If it's from just ad revenue or something like that, probably YouTube's your best bet. But if you're looking to live stream so that you can then get clients or customers or something like that, and that's your monetization that you're equating back to live stream, then maybe it is like a LinkedIn or a Facebook. Yeah.
I totally agree. Here's a random question while we're waiting for people to come and kind of get back is if you did a TED talk outside of your main area of expertise, so it can't be marketing, can't be Disney, what would you talk about?
I would love to do one on stoicism.
Really?
Yeah. I think I know enough now, but I also think I know how to kind of show how to put it into your daily life. And a lot of what stoicism is taking the slings and arrows that come at you and not necessarily reacting with a huge emotional reaction, but interpreting it and thinking critically and moving forward from that. I think a lot of it is also about, so what, you know, what's the big deal? Kind of having that mentality and putting things in perspective, which is easy to say, but then when you can kind of relate it back to people back 2000 years ago were having the same quote unquote issues, having trouble getting out of bed in the morning to go do what they were going to do. Mm-hmm. I just find it so interesting. And I would love to talk about that. And in high school and college and everything, my favorite subject was always history. So I love talking about story from that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what mine would be because storytelling is part of what I do. And I love talking about storytelling. I don't know if I do a TED Talks on something other than my main area of expertise. It might be, there's so many things about music, I think, that we can take lessons from, like practicing. And I mean, there's some stuff that I think that, because I am not an expert in music like Chris Stone or like Gary Stockton or some of those people are, but I think there's some lessons you can come over with practice of being persevering through things. Practicing smart is the best thing. Like, I'm trying to do more piano stuff, and practicing smart, I think, is the thing that I wish I would have learned when I was a kid. Instead of just running and doing some scales, it's like, okay, how do I, like you were talking about golf, it's all about against yourself. Like, how can I get better in this area, you know, quickly? And that's going to build on this, and that's going to build on some other stuff. So I think that's probably might be something I talk about.
I was going to say, and I think I know the answer to this because of what we've talked about and what you've been doing recently, but what's one thing like in your business or even your life that you've started doing, but you wish you started it way sooner? It could be anything.
There's so many things. Yeah. My thing is probably email marketing. I was lucky that when I first started, even back at Manly Pinterest Tips, the podcast, in my call to action, it was like, hey, you know, sign up for my newsletter. But I never really did anything except for just kind of blasting at them. I wish I would have started out with lead magnets, more lead magnets, and a sequence for email. I am more and more convinced, talking to our friends Liz Wilcox and Paul Gowder, the way to build a business and have longevity is to build your list. You look at everybody who's successful in our kind of world, everybody has a list that they use and monetize, and they, you know, they're constantly working on their list. I think the more that you rely on the list, you're less in the ebb and flow of the algorithms. Like, you know, think about these people who have huge TikTok channels and all this stuff. If they would have worked on their list alongside of what they were doing on TikTok, they wouldn't have been, they're not freaking out as much. Like, you know, with the, and the SEO changes that are coming with AI stuff, like, I don't know about you, but I put in a, like, I, cause I do a lot of, like I said, in the morning on my iPad, I'll put in a search and it's doing the little, just the AI thing. It's not even, and then way lower down, it's giving me those articles it's pulling from. But if, like, if your traffic's all coming from that stuff, it's scary. Like, what's going to happen? And so having a list and a community, I just think that's the way you can guard yourself against that kind of stuff.
And I think that that's the best way to differentiate yourself and be as specific as possible, like telling practical stories or examples that you've experienced is best done through email or best done through blog posts like that. That might not be a quick SEO search or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. For me, I think it's a diversifying lead magnets, not just having one across everything.
Yeah.
Having one for kind of each bucket on your website, I think that's super important.
So you mentioned, we talked storytelling a lot, but I wanted, because you mentioned in the last show that we talked together in, is like, you talked about how, you know, Disney had a beginning, middle, and end approach to their storytelling, right? Like, so how can small businesses, building on what you had talked about before, effectively incorporate Disney's beginning, middle, and end approach to their marketing strategies? You mentioned, you know, lead magnets. That's just one, that's kind of the beginning. Like, what have you learned from like the Disney model and that kind of stuff?
I think whenever you're selling something, a lot of the time you already know what the outcome the user is going to get from it, or the expected outcome that you would like them to get from it, because you've probably been in their shoes before. To that end, you probably know how they're going to feel each step of the way, from the beginning, the middle, and the end. So the end is really the solution. So if you take that idea of every story has a great beginning, a great middle, and a great end that kind of ties it all together, for you, your end is going to be the solution. What you want your customer or your client to experience and get resolve from at the very, very end. In the middle, it's all the hard work that they're going to do. At the beginning, it's how clueless it is, right? They don't know how they're going to get to the end. They don't know what the middle is going to entail. So for you, with storytelling, you're really trying to fill in that middle and show them how they're going to get to the end for that. The beginning is kind of already created. It's the person coming to you looking for help, but it's the middle that you're going to help them with. You're going to hold their hand with your product, your service, whatever it might be. And then the end is what you're going to get to together. And it's what's going to alleviate the stresses that they've been having.
So on that same note, let's talk about, okay, the beginning, middle, and end. One of the things is those transitions. And I'm going to go back to Disney, because one of the things we talked about too is like how cool it is when you go from one land in Disney, there's this transition. Yeah. And Lou talks about this as well. But the music changes and the kind of subtly, the it's not an abrupt thing, but there is this transition. So how can brands create a seamless and immersive storytelling journey similar to that, but you know, between what you just talked about, the beginning and middle and end?
Again, it's about knowing your persona, right? So when someone comes in, they're coming from a very specific moment in time. You might have been there. Think of the how it was. What did you find that eased you into that sort of next journey, that middle phase, right? It's probably about being as clear as possible, giving people tools up front as possible. It's crazy to say, but like probably the easiest way to transition someone into something new is having a great welcome sequence or a great tutorial sequence or a great, you know, support database, whatever it might be, so that they can kind of take the onus and ease themselves into that without it being so abrupt that they have to change everything that they're doing.
So on that note, we're talking about welcome sequences. This is a thing, and I want to get your take on it, and then I want to kind of follow up. But how do you start with the blank page? What do you have? Because that's intimidating. Like, okay, Connor, write a welcome sequence. And like, oh, where do I start? I mean, how do you do it? Like, is there a process you go to? Like, when you look at a blank page, I mean, this could be anything, like when you're putting a marketing plan together or whatever, but like, that blank page, at least for me, is very intimidating. So how do you get past that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the very, very first one you do is always going to be the toughest. The mm-hmm. second is going to be a little less hard. The third's going to be even a little less hard from that. So it's all about repetition. But that very first one, when it's truly a totally blank page, you kind of want to know, what is that, again, going back to it, the end going to look like? And then how are you going to get to that end? I think the important thing is, instead of kind of, you know, being shocked about, I want to put all this information into this big, long sequence, cut it in half and then cut it in half again. And then it's about getting as specific as possible, because I think we're overwhelmed with a blank page, not because of it's blank, but because of all the ideas in our head. It could make that blank page a 500 page book, right? Or something like that. So that's what overwhelms us. But if we look at it and say, you know what, all I have to do is write half of a page about this specific topic, that's so much easier to start with than let's put everything I know into this sequence.
Yeah. So here's my secret hack. And this has helped me more than probably anything, because I get overwhelmed with that blank page looking at it, especially for, we talked about the struggle with email sequences and newsletters and stuff. And my biggest thing, and you can actually, I'm going to put it up on screen again. If you go to the jeffc.com/toolbox, I have Liz Wilcox $9 membership in there. And that has helped me probably more than anything, because she gives you a template a week. Now, you don't have to use it. And she even says, like, this is just, and she has different examples of, like, if you want to take it all the way by yourself, and here's some maybe swipe copy, and here's like kind of almost done for you kind of a thing. That has helped me so much. I love it, because I end up rewriting the whole thing, but it's not that blank page. I have something that sparks my ideas, and now it's in my process. So I have I use Notion and I have it on my phone, and I can actually, just going out through the day, I'm like, oh, this would be a good idea for a newsletter, my Tuesday newsletter. So that has been, you know, because I struggle, like, you see that empty Word document and that cursor just flashing at your face. You're like, oh, where do I go? There, no one wants to hear what I have to say. And this gives you a little like jump start. And I love tools, and especially her newsletter thing has helped me out a ton. So yeah, I thought that what you're saying is really great points. By the way, if you do want to check out the newsletter, you can go to jeffc.com/news, where you can sign up, because we are going to be starting to give away the Ecamm Creator Camp ticket that's coming up for their Creator Camp in October. So we're going to start doing some stuff with that. Very, very cool. We're going to actually share a secret code. I know you guys, this kind of stunk that we had to switch streams in the middle of this with the hamster and my, you know, and my internet died. I mean, just like going around in circles. He's like, he was done. I had to go bury him, and then we started a new one. But I'm going to give a code at the end of this, so stick around for that so you guys can get some extra entries. And by the way, big shout out to our sponsors, Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. Use code Jeff15 to save 15% on your first order. The cool thing is, even though it was kind of a hiccup, having Ecamm, I could just start up the stream again. Connor jumped right back on after everything rebooted. So yeah, that's... Ecamm's awesome. So we need to probably start wrapping it up a little bit, but I wanted to ask a couple more questions. And if you have any questions in the comments, let us know. I hope our comments are working. I haven't seen any pop through, but that may be an issue with the restart. But if you could afford to be one of the passengers on SpaceX, would you do it?
No, absolutely not.
Really? You wouldn't go up in space?
Yeah. Well, I just feel like getting up there seems exhausting. I mean, it's just like, first off, I'd probably throw up 100 times, right?
Did you do the intense version of space in the mission space?
Mission space, and I've never done Orange because I just assume it's going to ruin my day, and I never wanted one day ruined, right? Yes. I don't think I would. I think there's so much on this planet that I would still love to see.
But everybody who's been at, like, who've gone on it, they say, like, when they go up and they see it, they're like, this... We're all one small in this globe together. We're all unity, and you don't care. Okay. I think I'd have to be older, and like my life would be almost over, like, to do it maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Cause I got a lot of stuff, like you said, I want to do here. And like, you know, you don't walk away from an accident on those things, you know, it's like, there's no, like, you know, you don't have a fender bender and like your insurance goes up, you explode and you're gone. So that's
I will say, as I've now live in Orlando, getting to see the rocket shuttles launch.
Oh, that's cool.
My window, it's the coolest thing ever.
That is cool. I didn't think about that. That is really cool. Yeah. I did ride a Mission Space. My son's like, let's go. Last time we was there together, and I did it, and I was like, I can, I'll never do that ever again in my life. Yeah. Not fun. I didn't get sick. I didn't throw up. I just felt horrible. Like, just like, I just don't want to, I need to sit down. Like when you get in there and you see the air sick bag right there in a Disney ride and you have cold air blowing in your face. They're like, why is cold air blowing on my face? Oh, there's a reason. So you don't vomit.
Some astronauts rode that when it first opened and they're like, whoa, that's intense. I believe they said that. And if astronauts are saying that, I'm out.
All right, Connor Brown, this has been fun. I'm sorry about the glitches, but we'll have to do this again because we had some great comments that we didn't get to during the show today. But I want to have enough time for people to tell, you can tell everybody where to find the unsinkable Connor Brown, because I think that's super important. And I think you have a new ba-bam website. Look at that.
Look at that lower third. Yes. So if you've been listening to the show as I've been co-hosting here and there, you probably know my original website was called wdwopinion.com. I started that back in 2017. I've gone through a rebrand. It is now vacationkingdoms.com. Reason for that is I love to talk about Disney World, but now I also love to talk about Universal Orlando Disney Cruise Line as well. So kind of broadening my horizons. Check us out, vacationkingdoms.com. Let me know what you think of the rebrand as well.
That is awesome. Yeah, Connor is amazing when it comes to all stuff vacation and travel. So we've used him before. I think with all the summer stuff, you need to give him a call because he'll get you what you need to get going, and even some like little secret, you know, tips and tricks to have the best vacation experience that you can actually have. So I am Jeff C. You can find out more about me at jeffc.com. Once again, make sure you guys sign up for jeffc.com/news to get access to the very, very cool new contest we're doing. And I promise this is the secret code today. U40GGS. If you enter that code when the newsletter comes out on Tuesday and you have access to the actual sweepstakes, that will give you extra entry. So U40GGS is the secret code. And with that, Connor Brown, thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for eCam. Thank you guys for sticking with us with all the technical difficulties. And we will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.